everyone, and welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. This is episode 41. I'm your host, Andy Godoy. So guys, today's episode is going to be slightly different. Now, one of the ways it is going to be slightly different, it's not going to be as heavily edited as it normally is. It's going to be a little bit more live, a little bit more raw. And the reason being is, I'm recording this the day before it actually goes out. Now, normally what happens is, we record the podcast about a week and a bit before, and then afterwards we do a little bit of editing and we upload it on the Friday, but it's gone Friday and it's Saturday night, so the latest we normally do the podcast is on a Sunday. So it's about 10 o'clock at night, and I'm going to try and get this podcast out for you guys. I've got it all planned out anyway, in my head, the way I want it. So it is going to be a great show anyway, because I've got absolutely loads of information to tell you. Now, the way the show is going to work today, we're going to do it in three parts. I'm going to tell you a few little things that are happening around the site, a few events that we've got planned. And then I've got the second part, which is a nice, interesting section, which I've been meaning to do for ages. It's the A to Z of Sega Master System games. And the third part is an interview I recorded about a week and a bit ago with Darren, who has a Facebook page called A Beads C Start. And this guy does some absolutely amazing work. He's really nice, down to earth. That'll be the last part of the podcast. So let's begin the show. Let's rock and roll. So first things first then, guys. We here at the Retro Asylum have got a little event coming up. And this will be on the 25th of August. It'll be held in Wickford, the Wickford Community Centre. And that is SS120AG. Now, what this event is, it's Retromania. That's what I've called it. Now, it's not going to be a huge retro gaming event like Revival or Play Expo, because these events are held at big venues. You've got thousands of people going down there, and we can't compete with that. So what I've decided to do, and I think Matt Dinaris from the forum sort of agrees that, why not just keep it smaller, keep it more personal, take it back to the way gaming used to be when we were younger, when you know, your friends used to come around to your house, used to go around to your friend's house, used to bring a few systems. So that's the sort of environment that we want to sort of like give. And the venue, the community center in Wickford, is not like a big hall that I've hired or anything. It's just like a little room, actually. Maximum you can fit about 40 people. But what's going to make this absolutely amazing is these systems we have on offer. It's going to be really amazing. The way it actually started off with, I was going to take all my own machines. I was going to take my Mega Drives, my N64, my GameCubes, my Dreamcast, Master System, and a bunch of other machines. And then I just started thinking, well, we do need a few more. And then I contacted a guy called Starship. Now, that's not his real name, that's his forum name. But this guy is being a complete and total lifesaver. Absolutely just has transformed the way this event's going to go on. It's really going to make it even bigger than I thought it would be, because we have got absolutely load of machines. Now, this guy, he basically has run events in the past, and he still does run them. And he was kind enough to suggest that, hey, maybe I could let you borrow a few machines here and there. So he's letting us borrow about 40 different consoles, ranging from the Neo Geo, Saturn, the Philips Video Pack, to just any machine you can imagine, even the Virtual Boy. We're going to have it there. It's going to be such a great event, actually. Now, I'm really looking forward to this, because we're also going to have loads of different things happening on the day. Not only are we going to have all these different machines to play, but we're going to have little gaming tournaments, like, every hour. So, say, for example, at 10 o'clock, for example, we'll do a little bit of Micro Machines too. Then at 11 o'clock on the hour, maybe we'll play a little bit of Street Fighter 2. We're going to have some raffles. We're going to have like a hardware clinic that Damien will be there just to give you some feedback on what could be wrong with your console. We're going to have a few stalls. And yeah, it's going to be a great day. I mean, I'll keep on giving you more info on this as the weeks go on. Now, this event, Retromania, is happening on the 25th of August in Wickford. And Wickford is in Essex, so you can get to Essex pretty easily from London, Liverpool Street or Stratford. So it's a bank holiday weekend, August the 25th. So please check it out. We've got quite a few people coming along. Like I said before, I'm not expecting thousands of people coming along. It's going to be small, which I prefer actually, because I talked to this with my friend Phil, who was saying, what if only a few people show up? And I said to him, to be honest with you, I don't really mind, because I want it to be intimate. I want it to be like the way I remember gaming, you know, you can have a few people around on the system, have a laugh, have a chat, you get to go on the system so you don't have to queue up for anything. It's going to be a great experience, it's going to be a nice bonding experience. And the other reason why we're doing this event is it's because we're going to celebrate our 50th episode of the Retro Asylum podcast there. It's going to be amazing, and I like the way that everyone on the, you know, Retro Asylum podcast, the community, have all come together. Everyone's taking systems down. Everyone's like donating things. We're all chipping in, and it's really like a team effort from the whole sort of forum. And people are getting involved in Twitter. People get involved in Facebook. Like I said, it's not a big venue. We're opening it for a short time. It's from 10 o'clock to 6 p.m. And this is on August the 25th. So please support this event. Go to our Facebook page, and you'll find us there. It's Retro Asylum Meetup, Retromania. Check it out on the forum. Check it out on Twitter. Don't worry, guys. We'll be plugging this event absolutely loads. So, yeah, I've done plugging that. So let me tell you a few other things that we've got coming up then. Now, the next event we've got coming up is the Essex Car Boot £20 Challenge. Now, this is happening on the 23rd of June, which is this month. And I tell you what, I love this car boot sale. It is an amazing car boot sale. It's like the size of Glastonbury or Reading. You can walk for hours and it's just field upon fields, and you just see loads of stalls. Now, it's all about searching for things amongst all these stalls. So there's quite a few of us going to go. We're going to try and get there nice and early, about 6 o'clock in the morning. We're going to split up into a few teams, and we're going to try and see who can come out with the best retro gaming collections, or finds basically, for £20. So if you want to get involved in this, go down to the forum, look for the thread that we've got up there. We will announce it again via Twitter. There's probably about, what, 6 or 8 of us going down there. So it should be a great fun day out. And that is the Retro Asylum £20 Car Boot Challenge Essex. And that is in Dunton. So don't forget, it's in Dunton, Essex, one of the best car boot sales I've actually ever been to. Now, the next thing I want to plug, guys, is the gaming challenge. Now, I want to do a few gaming challenges. I haven't had the opportunity to do this, but what I want everyone to do is get yourself a copy of MAME, or if you've got the actual arcade game, well, you're very, very lucky, but try out Chase HQ. Now, we've got a little challenge. The challenge is to try and get the bad guy in the quickest time on the first level. It's a great game, Chase HQ. You know, it really took a whole new spin on the whole Outrun racing car sort of thing, because it was like, you know, like those TV cop shows. It's a great game. So why not, you know, partake in this challenge? Try and see how fast you can do it in. There is a little section on the forum that you can add your scores on this. So give it a go, guys. Now, the next thing is, guys, we have got a high score board now on the forum. Now, if there's any particular game that you're good at, why not post it up there? I've posted a few arcade games. Now, they're not the most difficult scores to beat. Why not? If you've got 5 minutes, try and beat my scores. I'm sure you'll be able to do it. And then if I see those scores up there, I'm going to try and beat it myself. So, yeah, that's the high scores. We've got one last topic before I move on to my next section, which will be the Master System games. Now, the auditions. We have had 5 fantastic auditions for the co-host position of the Retro Asylum podcast. Now, I believe we've got about 3 or 4 more. So sometime, I think in late July or early August, we're going to announce who the winners are going to be. And the way this is going to work, guys, again, is once we've done all the auditions, I'm going to pop them on the forum. There's going to be a poll, and whoever gets the most votes will win the co-host positions. And next week we've got Soulstar, and he's done us an absolutely fantastic episode. It's really, really great. It's something that I was really interested in and really helped me inspire to do this Retromania event that I'm doing. So definitely check that out next week. So yeah, let's round that section up. Now, next up is the A to Z of Sega Master System games. Now, Before I go into this, guys, I want to quickly tell you a little bit about my history with the Sega Master System. The Master System was probably the third or fourth console that was officially mine, and it was one of my favourite consoles because I must have had it when I was like about, 10 or 11, and it was a system I had after the Spectrum, and it was amazing to me because, unlike the Spectrum, games loaded instantly, games were in full colour, you had loads of arcade conversions because it was Sega. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, I had played sort of like games on cartridges before, like on the Atari and so on, but the Sega Master System was a system that was available everywhere in the UK. In the US, apparently it was the, you know, NES. But around, like, the area I grew up in, sort of South London, everyone seemed to have a Sega Master System. Now, the A to Z that I'm going to be doing of Sega Master System games, it's a combination of games that I actually owned, or games that I really wanted to play, or I'd played at a friend's house. Now, these aren't necessarily the greatest games, but they're games that I want to talk about. Now, one of the first games I want to talk about is Action Fighter. Now, Action Fighter is an arcade game conversion from Sega themselves. Now, the Sega Master System version is so much better than the arcade game. The arcade game was very similar to sort of like Spy Hunter. You play this little motorbike, but I'm not a big fan of that. Now, the Master System version is got an amazing intro. It's got amazing music. It's really, really catchy. The graphics are simple, but they're really, really, really colourful. And the whole idea of this game is you start off as a little motorbike. You start racing up a little road, just like Spy Hunter. You collect letters. And if you collect enough letters, you move on to a flying level. But before you do that, you can get weapon upgrades. Now, you get these little Sega trucks that are around on the road, and they basically turn you from a motorbike to a car, and then you get, like, upgraded weapons. And I tell you what, it's so simple, but so addictive. I don't think I've actually got further than about the fourth level, because it does get really, really, really tough, and the music is so damn catchy. Now, the next game I want to talk about is Black Belt. Now, for years and years, I did not know that this was based on Fists of the North Star sort of manga. But the version I played was like the westernized version, and you play this guy, you're a martial art sort of expert, and it kind of plays like Kung Fu Master. You scroll from left to right, you get loads of little baddies that try and attack you. The moves are very, very simple that you've got at your disposal. You've got punch, kick, leg sweep, I think flying kick, and you can jump into the air to collect energy and stuff like that. And then what I used to love about this game was that you used to kick people or punch people, and they used to explode into different pieces. It was just really sort of like gory in that respect. Now, halfway through the level, you'd come across some little mini bosses, which were kind of tough to really, and it would slow your progress down. But once you learnt their patterns, you know, you could easily defeat them. And then once you got to the end of the level, the graphics actually changed. Just imagine sprites nearly as big as the characters from Street Fighter 2. It would change to that. And it was a lot more technical. Each boss character had like a weakness, and it's all about trying to find them. So yeah, that's one game that I definitely recommend. And for C, let's see what we have. See what I did there? California Games. Now, I love this game. I think it was done by Epix. It was out on the C64, the Spectrum, the Atari Lynx, which apparently is a great version. I haven't played that version, but the version I enjoyed the most was on the Sega Master System. It's so perfect. I think it's 8 different events, or is it 7 events? And each event, you do a different sort of like sport. Like the first level is skateboarding, and it's like you just have to do tricks. And then the second event is the footbag. And I think after that it goes into surfing. And there's so much variety. So it was so easy to get into this game. And it was kind of hard to master. And what I loved about this game the most was that you could play up to 8 players. You'd take turns. So it was always really, really nice to get a group of friends together and actually try and compete and beat each other at this. Yeah, now this game was basically pure perfection. It was a lot better than the Mega Drive version, which was lacking a few levels. It had more charm than the Sega Mega Drive version. It was a great game. I mean, one of my favourite levels has to be the surfing. And recently, we did a challenge on the forum to try and get the highest score on that. And it's just so simple, but so damn addictive. Now, this is one game that I'd love to see coming back. Now, next up is D, and D I'm going to go for Double Dragon. Now, this was the version of Double Dragon that I played the most. Now, it's interesting that I'm mentioning this, because arcade conversion wise, it's not the greatest arcade conversion. Yeah, it's got similar sort of layout to the arcade. It's got a two-player option, which was missing on the NES. It's full colours, the characters look somewhat like they do in the arcade. It's a lot better than the 8-bit computer home versions, which were absolutely appalling. But what I loved about this game was that it was just so easy. It simplified the controls. You got kick, punch, and that was it. Two buttons. And by sort of pushing forward, you'd do flying kicks and so on. It was really easy to get into. Now, like I said, this was the version that I played the most, and my memory is just ingrained in this version. Now, I was talking to Dean about this, and Dean was saying, no, Double Dragon's so much better than Streets of Rage 2. And he started pointing out moves that I didn't even know existed, because I'd actually only played the arcade conversion, I'd say a maximum of 20 times. Whereas, in fact, I think my memory of the gameplay was actually coming from the Sega Master System version, which I had played absolutely loads, and to this day I still play it. Now, I enjoy this game. I think it's, you know, it's a great-looking game. It's fun. It's a bit on the easy side, but I highly recommend that you get Double Dragon. Now, next up for E is Enduro Racer. Now, this was a slightly cheaper game at the time. For some reason, it wasn't as pricey as the other game. Now, this is an arcade conversion by Sega. It doesn't play like the arcade game at all. Now, for those of you that will remember it, Enduro Racer was very similar to Hang On, but with a difference. You had basically like bumps and hills that you'd go up, and you had to pull back on the motorbike in the arcade to actually get over these bumps. It really made it interesting. You could really get that sort of like speed if you hit your bumps right. Now, the Sega Master System version is a 3D isometric. It simplifies it. It's very, very simple. You can upgrade your motorbike after every sort of round. To be honest with you, I've got like a mixed reaction on this. Sometimes I love it, sometimes I hate it. Okay, the reason why I'd say I don't like it is because it is too easy. But because it's 3D isometric, it does look kind of nice. The graphics are simple, but they're very colourful, and they work very, very well. And the music is fantastic in this game. Yeah, I quite enjoy this game, guys. I recommend that you definitely check this out. Now, next up is Fantasy Zone. Now, Fantasy Zone was a game that I never actually owned, but it was a game I always wanted to play back in the day. Again, it's an arcade conversion, but I never had it up until like recently when I started playing games on emulation. And I really got to experience the game. It was really bright, it was really vibrant, it's really, really colourful little shoot 'em up game. Now, I enjoyed it, but I'm thinking, because I played it now as an adult, as opposed to playing it when I was a youngster, did that take some of the sort of that factor out of it? Because I enjoyed it, but I didn't think it was a game that it was like, oh my god, that was amazing. It was a game that I thought was, yeah, that was good. I'll play that again sometime, but you know, it's nothing phenomenal. So yeah, I mean, I might give it another go. Again, you know, it's a nice looking game. So I definitely recommend anyway, guys, check it out. It's a beautiful looking game. It's something I need to actually try again though. Now next up is Ghost House. Now Ghost House is a game I absolutely love. It was a game that came on the little discs, these sort of like mini disc things that I used to sort of for the Master System 1. And again, these games were slightly cheaper. And it's not a great game, I don't think. But it's full of charm. This is a game made by Sega themselves. You play this little vampire hunter, and what you've got to do in this ghost house is try and fight across these sort of like ghosts and monsters, and you've got to try and find Dracula and, well, vampires and kill them. You kill enough vampires, you clear the house, you win basically, but it's not that simple. It's really, really tough, but I don't think I've ever killed more than two vampires in this game. But what I like about this game, it's charm. It's the music. The music is really, really bouncy. It's really sort of kooky, really. It's just The characters are cute. It's just, it's got charm. Again, I think that has to go back to nostalgia, really, because I used to play this game all the time as a kid, because it was a cheap game. My mum and dad got it for me, and I used to play this game to bits, and it's one of my favourite games on the Sega Master System. Alright, so let's go for H. Hang On. Now, Hang On was an amazing arcade game. I used to love Hang On. And Hang On basically came with my Sega Master System. It was one of the two games that I've built in. Now, it came with Hang On and I think Safari Hunt. My Master System also came with a little snail maze game, which you had to activate by pushing up and pressing the two buttons at the same time. But my favourite game in all this on the Sega Master System was Hang On, because it was a simple little, you know, motorbike racing game. Okay, it pales in comparison to the arcade, but it had an illusion of speed and it played pretty well. Again, I wasn't very good at it. I could only probably get to about the fourth level, but before I could save up to buy some more Master System games, it kept me going for the months before I got a new one. And it was always nice trying to remember what my score was, trying to beat my friends' times. It was just, it was fascinating. It's really, really charming as well. It's one of my favourite games. Now, next up for I is Impossible Mission. Now, Impossible Mission was, again, another game which I believe was created by Epix. Now, the C64 had a superb conversion. Well, that was probably the original version. It was probably the definitive version, I thought, at the time. The Spectrum version wasn't that great, really. It didn't look as good as the C64. And I think a good 4 or 5 years later, you know, this came out in the Sega Master System, and it just improved on a lot of things. It looked a lot nicer, it ran a lot smoother, the sampled speech was there. It was just the same game, which was Impossible Mission, but a lot more complete. And this is a game, actually, that I think that I need to actually pick up and play, because it's just so easy to get into, and the animation is one of the things that always wowed me about this game. It's really amazing that they managed to get something like this looking this good all these years ago. So definitely, guys, check this game out. Next up, guys, is Jay, and I've got The Jungle Book. Now, the reason why I've chosen The Jungle Book was, is just, again, back in the day, I used to like my cartoon licensees, or especially Disney licensees, and all my Disney licensees I quite started liking after playing Aladdin. Now, I played Aladdin on the Sega Mega Drive, but at the time, I only had a Sega Master System, so I ended up getting games like The Lion King and The Jungle Book, and those simple little sort of playing games, but they had charms, they were really nicely animated, the characters looked like the way they looked in the sort of like movie, and I think it did its best what it could for an 8-bit game. It's not the greatest sort of platforming game, but again, it looks like the cartoon, it really does, so I'd recommend that. Now, next up, for K, we've got Kung Fu Kid. This is probably in my top 50th game ever. Again, I'm talking about nostalgia here. It's very, very simple to complete this game. Now, it's a left to right scrolling sort of beat 'em up. You play this cutesy little character, and you have to fight against these sort of like Chinese vampires and monsters. And what I loved about this game was that you really could defy gravity. Your characters could fly right up into the sky and do little flying kicks. And you had these little ninja stars as well, which if you threw these shurikens, you could sort of like defeat loads of baddies in one go. But again, it was the colourful graphics, it was very cute, it was the music, it was the whole sort of like, you could really beat the crap out of loads of people, which really got me into this. And another reason why I like this game as well, you could sort of bounce off walls as well to reach higher areas, which is really good. Again, it's not the sort of hardest games, but it's one of the games that I always tend to go back, because you can probably finish this game in about half an hour. So it's always a good game just to sort of like pick up and play if you want to just finish your game nice and easy. Now, next up for L is Lucky Dime Caper. Now, again, the reason why I got this was because I was a big fan of Mickey Mouse, A Castle of Illusion on the Mega Drive and on the Master System. And the sort of follow-up of such was this game, Donald Duck. It didn't quite have the charm of Save Mickey Mouse. It played well, it looked good, And it was Mario, but for the Sega Master System, you could run around and jump on characters. You had to sort of like beat bosses by jumping on their heads and so on. It was a great game. It was one of the best platformers on the Sega Master System. Often underrated compared to Castle of Illusion, because that was basically pure perfection. Next letter, which is M, and that is Mickey Mouse Castle of Illusion. Now this is probably the second best Sega Master System game ever. It's very, very different to the Sega Mega Drive game. The level layout is completely different, but it has the same themes, it has the same sort of type of gameplay, same mechanics. And that's why it was essential that I had both. I had to get the Master System version and the Mega Drive version. If you were to ask me which version do I prefer, I would actually have to say probably the Master System version. There's just something about this one. Maybe it's because it's a little bit easier on the later levels, but I think graphically it's superb. It's one of the best looking games on the Sega Master System. Mickey's animated fantastically. All the characters, all the levels are amazing. So yeah, this is one game that I highly recommend that you do check out. So next up then, guys, is N, the Ninja. Wow, I love this game. Again, this game was another sort of cheap game, well, compared to most Sega Master System games. Now, I believe this was based on an arcade game called Ninja Princess. And they just changed the graphics up a little bit and they just called it the Ninja. So the level layout is slightly different on the Master System game. But what I loved about it was just back in the day, I used to love my Ninja movies. I used to love just anything like that. And when I first got this game, it drew me in. Just imagine Commando. You go from the bottom of the screen up, but you're a ninja and you're in sort of ancient Japan. And what I loved about this, you've got two ways of throwing your ninja stars. You've got one that sort of shoots up, one that sort of can shoot sideways. So it's really easy to hit the baddies. You don't feel like you're not in control. And the great thing about this game is you've got like your ninja power. So if you press both buttons at the same time, your character disappears. He goes like invisible. So if a baddie shot like a ninja star at you, it'd go straight through you. And you wouldn't get hurt if you pressed the two buttons. But what I loved about this game was the variety. Like, the first level, you're in this little field, you're going up through to the temple. The second level, you're like in some sort of like desert-y type level, and you've got all these big rocks sort of like bouncing, and you've got to try and avoid them while also trying to sort of shoot the baddies. It had loads of charm. I've never finished the game. The graphics are nice and simple, but really, really stand out, and it's one of my favorite games. OutRun was one of my favorite arcade games. It just really wowed me. It was the steering wheel, it was the whole atmosphere of the arcade cabinet, it was the colorful graphics, it was the music. Now, again, I was very disappointed with the 8-bit home computer versions. The Spectrum version, the sprites looked nice, but as soon as they started moving, it was slow, it was clunky. The C64 did make it better, but it wasn't as good as I was hoping it to be. It didn't quite feel like the arcade game. Now, this is the reason why I like the Sega Master System version. Now, the version I had was OutRun 3D. Now, I believe not only was it just a 3D version, you could alternate to a 2D version, and this 2D version was different to the original OutRun, which came out on the Sega Master System. And at the time, it felt like the arcade game, it looked like the arcade game, the music sounded like the arcade game, but obviously a little bit more basic, but it did the job. The arcade experience into my home, and it really gave me hours of amazing gameplay, listening to all that amazing music. I could never get to the end of that game though. I really wish I could do it. So next up for P, we've got Pro Wrestling. Now, I've always been a bit of a wrestling fan, and this was the only game that I'm aware of that was on the Sega Master System. Now, I believe this was based on a Japanese Sega arcade game. I can't remember or would even be able to pronounce the name of the game, but the version I used to play was Pro Wrestling on the Master System, and it was like a tag team. You had four different tag teams. You had one tag team which were based on the Road Warriors. You had other characters like, that looked like Hulk Hogan and so on. And it was just a very easy, simple, basic wrestling game. Each character, the only difference they had was like different special moves. Apart from that, they all had the same moves. It was a time when games were bought for me, and I think these games were probably about 30 something pounds, so I didn't have like different games every week like I used to, like I was on the Spectrum. So when I got given these games, I would actually make the most of them. Even though they weren't that great, I'd really invest a lot of time into them, and that actually drew me more into them, because realistically this game isn't that great, but because I played it loads, I've got a fond memory of it, if that makes any sense. Next up is Q, and that is Quartet. Quartet is one of my favourite games ever on the Sega Master System. Now, I prefer it more than the arcade game. The arcade game was four players, hence Quartet. The Sega Master System version should have been called Duet, because it's only two players. But I love the level layouts. And there's one thing I love more about the Sega Master System than the arcade version, and that is the music. The music just suits a Master System version phenomenally. It's a great sounding game. The game itself is not that amazing, but again, it's just the overall experience. It's a simple sort of left to right sort of shoot 'em up platformy game, but it's a sci-fi element. It's the creatures, it's the music, it's the atmosphere of the game, which really takes it up a notch and just takes that sort of average game and gives it that sort of like extra bit of polish, I guess. So this is one I definitely recommend playing, just for the music really, because it's better than the arcade. Now here's another arcade conversion, and this is Rastan. Now Rastan, again, I was a big fan of the arcade game. It really made me feel like Conan the Barbarian, and the Master System version, again, similar to the arcade, level layouts very, very different, but I prefer the way this game looks, it feels and controls. It feels a lot more fluid, really. The arcade game, I always felt a little bit more clunky, but this gave you a little bit more freedom. I think he moved a little bit faster. It felt like Rastan was a little bit more agile. And I really liked this game because he fought against all these mythical creatures, like for the Hydra and these dragons and so on. And it was a great game. To this day, I think I really need to finish this game. The music is phenomenal again. For the Sega Master System, it sounds amazing. And again, this is one of the times that I was really impressed with this Master System version and really disappointed with the 8 home computer versions. And this is one of the reasons why I had to get this, because it was near arcade perfect in my eyes at the time. So definitely check out Rastan. So next up is S, and we've got Spellcaster. Now Spellcaster is a nice mix of a weird bunch of different games. It's like a left to right scrolling platform game with a bit of RPG element, like an anime RPG. It's a weird hybrid of different games. It's kind of hard to describe. I think the story is that your master's being killed and you go to this town to try and find out what's happened. You get attacked, and then you find out that some big sort of evil guy has killed him, and you have to go on this search, you know, on this journey, on this quest. And you just travel to different sort of lands, and it's the same sort of thing. You scroll from left to right, then you've got like a little point and click land where you've got to try and find clues. It's one of the best Sega Master System games ever. I would definitely put this in my top 10 Sega Master System games ever. I think there was a game that was like a sequel of such that came out on the Sega Mega Drive. I can't remember what it's called, Mystical Fighter or something like that, but it was nowhere near as good. It just paled in comparisons. But if you haven't played this game, definitely check it out. There's no way I can do it justice unless I was doing like an actual video gameplay. So check out Spellcaster. It's one of the best games. It's like a hidden gem, you know, this game. Next up is T, we've got Time Soldiers. Now this game, it was apparently an arcade conversion. It's two players, and just imagine Commando, but you're traveling through time, so you could be in the forest somewhere, then you're in space, and you're back in where the Roman times, and you fight different sort of like characters and creatures from different time periods. And I think that was one of the things that drew me towards this game. It added a twist on a tired format. And although the gameplay was very, very similar to other sort of games like that, I think it was a whole time traveling thing that really made me get into this absolutely loads. It was just nice to try to see what character you were going to fight against, what the bosses were going to look like, the different time periods, whether it was going to be Rome and so on, or Egypt. It was just that's what drew me towards this game. Again, I don't know if it was a great game, but it was the way it was presented. And that's what I love about certain games. You know, it's how it's presented, really. So I'll check it out. I'd still recommend this. So next up is You Ultima. Now it's going to be hard for me to talk about this because, you know what, guys? I haven't played it. But I've had loads of different people recommend that it's one of the best Sega Master System games ever. And it's the beginning of one of these RPG series that led on to other things. And I'm just thinking, I can play this now on emulation. It was a game I missed out back in the day. So I might check it out. And then when I do check it out, I'll probably will do a video review on this. Because I think what I will do further down the line on YouTube is do videos of all these games that I'm talking about now, just so that way, you know, you guys can see a little bit more about, you know, what I'm talking about. So next up is V and Vigilante. Now, Vigilante, I loved the arcade game. Why I loved the arcade game back in the day, I really don't know. Because apparently it was like a sequel to Kung Fu Master, like an unofficial sequel, because it plays exactly the same thing. You go from left to right, you kick baddies, punch baddies, the baddies get too close to you, they grab you, you've got to shake them off. It's frustrating gameplay, really. It's not that great. It's kind of annoying, really. But again, I like the fact that your character had to go and rescue someone called Madonna, and I think in the Master System version it was Maria. And your character wore some dungarees. I think the first level boss kind of looked like Jeff Capes. And it was just like a very sort of gritty, sort of New York-y sort of feel. Very grimy. It felt very late 80s, the way the characters looked, the music and so on. So when I got the Sega Master System version, it played like the arcade game. And again, it probably made me like... Okay, the reason why I like the Sega Master System version... It's probably because I played the 8-bit versions on the Commodore 64, which is awful. The C6, the Spectrum version is terrible as well. So when I got the Sega Master System version, it was actually pretty good compared to those games. And it's not a great game itself, but as arcade conversions go, it does play pretty like the arcade game. It's a decent arcade conversion, and I give it credit for that. So it's a love and hate relationship with this game. So let's move on to the next game then, is a W, and that is Wonder Boy 3. Now, Wonder Boy 3, The Dragon's Trap, is one of my favorite games of all time. It's perfection on the Sega Master System. Think of Metroidvania or Symphony of the Nights. It's that sort of style gameplay, that Metroidvania style gameplay, you know? You basically start off as the Wonder Boy character. You get cursed because it takes place at the end of Wonder Boy 2, which was Super Wonder Boy. You get turned into this dragon. You escape from the castle. It blows up. And then you've got to try and cure yourself and try and turn yourself back into human form. Now, you turn into, I think, 4 or 5 different characters. A lion, a mouse, a lizard man, I think, like a fish man as well. And each of these characters has their own strength and weaknesses. By going to certain characters, you can access areas that you couldn't access before. And again, it's beautiful to look at. The level layout is amazing. The graphics are fantastic. The sound is phenomenal. It's probably got some of the best music on the Sega Master System. It's just so catchy. And it's a game that, if you haven't played, add it to your collection. Get it ASAP for your Sega Master System. Now, next up is Xenon 2. Now, Xenon was like one of these games which was amazing on the Amiga. Now, I'll tell you a little bit of a story. It's going a bit off topic here, really. I never played the Amiga version. I'd actually only ever played the Sega Mega Drive version. And I just thought it was like an average shoot 'em up. Okay? And again, it came out in the Sega Master System. So I just thought, well, it's a port of the Mega Drive version. It's okay. But both these versions pale in comparisons to the Amiga versions, which I've played in recent times. And I'm thinking, I can't believe that they really paled in comparisons. I missed out a lot on the Amiga, which was such a superb machine, and it showed the difference in sound between the Mega Drive and the 8-bit computer, which is the Master System. Now, I do apologize if I'm rambling on, guys, but I am recording this on fly. I've got to be up in about 4 hours to go work. So let's quickly start rounding this up. Right, so for Y, I think it's YS, or it's a game that I've never played, but a game that people have recommended. It's another sort of like Japanese style RPG. It's not really my sort of RPG games. The only sort of RPG game that I ever got into was like a Zelda or Golivus or whatever it was called. But this was a game that I never played, and I might give it a chance because I really sort of love the Sega Master System games, and people speak highly of this game, so I'll definitely check it out. So yeah, let's round this section up with my last game, which is Zillion. Now, Zillion, I believe, is based on a manga or an anime. It's a fantastic game. The only thing I can compare it to, imagine Impossible Mission, but adding like another sci-fi element to it. Futuristic alien robots, guns, lasers, and that's what you get with this game. It's great. The music is fantastic, the animation is fantastic, the sound is fantastic. It's one of the greatest games on the Sega Master System games, and it's a game that I recommend that everyone check out. So guys, yeah, anyway, that is my A to Z of Sega Master System games. Some of my favourites, some games I haven't played, games that I'd recommend you guys to check out. And again, I do apologise if I am sort of waffling on, but again, this podcast needs to be out by tomorrow. So this is this section rounded up. Let's move on to the third and final part of the podcast, which is the interview with Darren. Hello everyone, and welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. This is episode 41. I'm your host, Andy Godoy, and joining me today is Darren.
Hello.
Darren, and I finally got your name right.
Yeah, definitely not James.
Yeah, during the pre-testing of this, I kept on calling you James, even though I knew your name was Darren, so I do apologise about that.
Don't worry about it. My mum still calls me David and Damien every half the time anyway, so one of these days someone will get my name right.
Right, so for anyone that's wondering, who is Darren? Darren has got this amazing shop on Facebook, and it's called A Beads C Starts, is that right?
That is correct, and it's great to hear someone who actually says it right as well.
How do people normally say it then?
People just end up calling me Beads, or I think there was someone there who did a video talking about some of my stuff who said C Beads at one stage there, and I just always thought, you know, why is it so hard to get the name right? And I thought to myself it should be catchy, because the name is based off video game cheat for Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
You're up, down, left, right, ABC start, and that's ABC start is where that name came from. And I thought, you know, the alphabet too, that's pretty simple, so I don't know, I guess. I was recently thinking about changing the name, but to be honest, I've been doing this now nearly 2 years with that name, so I thought to myself, no, I don't really feel like changing it. It's, you know, but thank you very much for getting it correct.
Got to confess though, Darren, I kept on thinking, what is the name of it? And I kept on thinking, A, B, C, start. And then it just clicked. It's A, B, C, start. Like, you know, like a controller thing. So,
exactly,
yeah. I think it's a fantastic name. So I met Darren at Revival, and it was one of the first stalls that I came across. And I tell you what, I was completely amazed by what it is, what you do. So what would you describe? Tell our listeners what it is you actually do then.
Well, what I do is I create characters using beads. Mainly the characters I would create are video game characters from Sega, Nintendo, whatever else, you know, mostly retro-based games like Sonic the Hedgehog, Super Mario, Legend of Zelda. I do other things like Golden Axe, Streets of Rage, Chrono Trigger. Basically, if there's anything out there of old video game sprites, I can make it. You know, that's the way I look at it.
I mean, as soon as I went into Revival, I sort of like saw some of this amazing work, and it's all very pixel. It's all very sort of like just like the old sort of like squares. I mean, the first thing I saw was Dizzy, and yeah. I was blown away by that Dizzy, and I had to buy one off you. So how did you actually get into doing this? What gave you the idea to do this?
Well, I did see some other people in America who did some who delved into it a little bit. Unfortunately, a lot of the ones I've seen, they didn't really go into as much detail as I would like to for myself. So what I did, I wanted to do something for myself for Christmas tree. I had an idea to basically make my own geeky, nerdy Christmas tree using video game sprites of old video games from the original Nintendo, Sega Master System, Sega Mega Drive. There's a picture of it up on my page, by the way. I'll send you if you ever want it. So what I did was I did that. I showed all my friends all the different items I was making, and my friends said, "Why aren't you selling these?" And I thought to myself, well, to be honest, the idea never really occurred to me to sell them. I didn't think many people would really want them. And then not long after that, a friend of mine asked me if I could make him a character from the Kid Chameleon game from the Mega Drive. Yeah. I thought, yeah, not a problem. I'll do that for you. And he was my first commission. And then from then on, it pretty much went into me starting up a shop on Facebook and getting people interested. A lot of people shared my stuff at the start, which was fantastic. They got a lot of other people interested. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and it's just, I don't know why, but it just started to take off. And then I decided to get into like conventions and things too.
Well, I think it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, I love that Dizzy. Now, the Dizzy I've got is the Dizzy from the Spectrum. How long did it take you to make that Dizzy?
To be honest, a Dizzy from the Spectrum, which is the black and white one, takes me about 15 minutes.
15 minutes? Well, yeah. I'll tell you what, it is amazing. I absolutely love it.
Thank you.
Like, you've covered loads of different sort of things. You've got the whole Dizzy, you've got games from the arcades, mm-hmm. Mega Drive, a whole range of Nintendo characters.
Yes.
How well did you do at Revival, by the way?
Oh, I did fantastically. I mean, I was kind of worried because I paid a lot to get over there, plus I had to pay for a passport, which I still find strange because I live in Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK. To go from one part of the UK, I needed a passport. Don't ask me why. But I had to pay that for the passport, for my flight, for my hotel, you know, for the table at Arrival and everything. And so I was kind of worried about, you know, how much I would make. But to be honest, wow, I was impressed. I guess the best thing about it was my first time going to an actual proper video game based event.
Right.
Every other event I've mostly been at was conventions to do with anime and comic books and things mm-hmm. like that. But that was like, it blew me away. It made me realize how much I could actually do at something like that. And it made me think, I wish I brought more, which I found out I had 4 kilograms of space in my luggage to be able to bring more,
yeah.
But, which I was raging about. But I did a lot better than I expected. I was great as well because Philip Oliver as well even came over. I made him a Dizzy based, what was it, a frame. I don't know if you got to see that while you were there.
I think you might have shown me. You said you were going to hand it over to him, and you still hadn't spoken to him at this time.
The best part is, from what I know, the guy coordinator who brought Revival together, his name was Chris, and Chris Wilkins. He I was speaking to him, and he said he would actually introduce me personally to him, and I thought that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But luckily, thanks to Chris putting my stall pretty much at the front door, Philip caught me first. He came over, seen my stuff, was like, wow, you know, look at this, and he couldn't believe it. And he uses the same type of beats with his daughter, he told me, and he said, why didn't I think about doing this? And the best part about it was, even though I gave him the frame, he ended up ordering off me, and I did have to admit, he gave me money for an order, but I actually made him a lot more. I said I made him actually the whole Yoke Folk from the Sega Mega Drive Fantastic Dizzy and the Yoke Folk from the Spectrum version as well. So he got all those, and he got a couple of other ones as well. And I sent him over there last week. I spoke to him recently. He said he received them and he loves them. And Andrew also sent me a mail saying that he really enjoys them too. So that's fantastic. And I made them a lot more because Dizzy was my childhood game, my childhood hero. Everyone says, who's better, Sonic or Mario? Dizzy was mine. Dizzy was always mine. It was a great pleasure to meet him. The main reason I wanted to go for it is because it actually landed on my 31st birthday.
Right.
And I was, you know, wanted to actually have a chance to meet Philip Oliver. And then I got to meet so many amazing people like yourself and other people from other pages. And other sites who are all do all different things as well, even if some of the guys from Ocean, and it was just an amazing weekend. I couldn't believe how amazing that weekend is, and yeah, so it did really well, and it was just fantastic.
So, like, I know you were really, really busy selling your stuff there, but did you get the chance to go out and sort of buy anything or play anything, or were you just, like, tied up the whole weekends?
Well, I have to give a big, massive thank you to Chris Wilkins' family. They really helped me out when it came to things. They kept keeping an eye on my stall. I left them a little float with a little price list. Unfortunately, I couldn't give them a price list for every single item there because there was just so much stuff at different prices. So I just gave them a small price list of the tiny things that were all the same price and said, I'll be back in 5 minutes. Ran around with a camera, took loads of pictures, bought a few games, ran back to the stall. I did that about two or three times, and there was a table in front of me, just literally right across from me, who were selling games for pretty cheap. And I must have spent the guts of 150 quid on games from them.
Wow.
So yeah, I pretty much brought back a haul of all different games. I even bought a Game Boy, which I thought was sweet for £10. You know.
So what games did you buy then? Tell us a list of the games you bought then.
Well, let's see. I bought Double Dragon for the original Nintendo. Mm-hmm. I bought a load of Super Nintendo games. I bought Ghoul Patrol. I bought Asterix the Secret Mission, The Incredible Hulk, what was it? Oh, Street Fighter 2 Turbo. The Mega Drive, I bought Mortal Kombat, Sonic Spinball, and Sonic 3D. Trying to think what else I bought there. I bought Nintendo 64, I bought Mario 64. Bought the Game Boy that came along with the Robocop game, a couple of PlayStation 1 games like Silent Hill, Soul Reaver. So yeah, I was trying to actually find a Dizzy game there for the Commodore 64.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see if I could get Fault to sign it for me, but I couldn't find one anywhere, and I found out that A, there was a Dizzy game there, and B, there was a Commodore 64 there, which I was looking to buy as well, but I ended up buying one on eBay there recently anyway with a load of Dizzy games.
Right. Because there was, I think, Quick Snacks on the C64, which was near the Retro Collect sort of area, which was down there, because I was thinking doing exactly the same thing of getting, like, Philip Oliver to sign it then.
Yeah.
So what I want to ask you then is how, you know, tell us your story of how you got into gaming right from the beginning.
Oh, that's easy. That's one of my biggest memories has to be whenever I was about 4 years old. My granddad used to go down to, there's a place just a little bit, I don't know if it's right north of here or just over to the west. It's called Buncrana from where I live.
Right.
And in Buncrana, when I was a kid, there used to be arcades, and he used to go to a bingo that was like literally next door. We had slot machines and stuff like that, and him and my granny used to love going in there and enjoying themselves. And right next door there was an arcade, and it was fantastic. I went in and I seen all different games like Shinobi, Robocop, Outrun, Double Dragon, Golden Axe. I was like, wow. I was just, you know, overwhelmed with amazingness. So that pretty much became an every weekend thing where my granny and granddad would take me down there every weekend. It was just a big part of my childhood. And from then on, my mum bought me then for Christmas a Commodore 64. And I was like amazed. I just, my own first home console or computer-based console. And I thought, wow. And I from then I was pretty much obsessed. My first obsession with games was just my first favorite games. One of my first games I ever got for the Commodore was Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, right.
Anyone who can see my page sees the amount of Ninja Turtles items I make. They know I'm an obvious fan. I even have a Ninja Turtles hoodie I take with me to conventions and things.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like arcade machines and video games on the home, Dizzy was probably one of my favorite games when it came to the Commodore 64 back in the day, and one of my favorite arcade machines probably was the first Ninja Turtles arcade machine, the four-player one by Konami.
Four-player one, yeah.
Yep, that one, yeah. That was always one of my favorites.
Right, you've mentioned two of my favorites there, and I'll tell you what, I love Dizzy. I'm a huge Dizzy fan. We interviewed Philip Oliver.
I got to listen to that, yeah.
What 2 years ago, I think we did that interview for my old podcast, and really down to earth guys. And I'm, you know, really, really glad that I actually got to talk to my childhood heroes. What is it about Dizzy? Because I mean, I know what I like about Dizzy, but what was it about Dizzy that really just you could relate to, or why you liked him so much.
The characters, I love the characters. Probably my favorite being Denzel, you know, the one with the sunglasses and the the tape recorder back then and stuff. He was always one of my favorites. I always loved like the games where he was frozen in a block of ice where you had to get him on glass. But I think the thing is, the game to me had two major things that really made them memorable. The first was the characters. I loved the characters. Dizzy, Daisy, Dylan, Denzel. To me, they're all very memorable. I can name them all off. And the other aspect was puzzles. Mm-hmm. The game was the normal games, which I call normal games, which are the ones which are the platform versions of the games, not the coin up, you know, arcadey kind of styles like Quick Snacks and Fast Food Dizzy. But the actual, I love those two. But the actual classic games would be the ones which are very puzzle based. And I love puzzle games. Puzzle mm-hmm. games are fantastic to me. That's what the puzzle part is what made Resident Evil big for me too. And yeah, I mean, they were complex at times. Sometimes they were very hard because you didn't know what to do with certain items and things, and that challenged you. And I think a challenge is great and actually makes a game more memorable when games are like these days, like Call of Duty and things, which are just running around. It's I think I heard someone mention that it's the difference between snack food and a very elegant, amazing meal.
Yeah,
you know, snack food is just, you know, that to me, that's, you know, Call of Duty is like snacks, when Dizzy was more like a proper homemade, you know, meal, which was, well, not even a cooked meal that was satisfying.
So talking about Dizzy then, like, what was your favorite game in the Dizzy series then?
One of my favorites has to be, it's a hard one, but probably the first Dizzy game. Treasure Island Dizzy would probably be my favorite. And my second favorite would probably be Prince of the Oak Folk.
Really? Okay, so you completely skipped through Fantasy World Dizzy then.
I do love Fantasy World Dizzy. I have the Fantasy World Dizzy on my original Nintendo. And it's a game I love, even on the Commodore 64 and the original Nintendo, and even the Mega Drive version, which is fantastic, Dizzy, which is probably, you know, my favorite, you know, version of it. But yeah, that is still an absolutely a favorite game, but it's probably number four in my list.
Yeah. Well,
number three probably is Magic World Dizzy. Is it Magic World Dizzy?
Magic Land Dizzy.
Magic Land Dizzy, yeah. Kept trying to remember if it was Magic World or Land.
So have you actually ever checked out YolkFolk.com? Because we've recently had like an interview with Andrew Joseph, and he also did an audition for the podcast, and he's got like this amazing Dizzy website. Have you seen that before?
I'm actually usually in very contact with those. I'm always in contact with them with all the items I've made. Or they even posted the picture of me and Philip Oliver on the page and everything too, on their Facebook page, that is. But I'm a member on their site and everything. I've been on their site for a good couple, about 2 years now or so. I've recognized it, I chat to them every now and then about the stuff I make. I even one of the first things I posted up on the page was I actually made a figurine of Dizzy using blue tack, and
fantastic.
And I even painted it and all too. I still have it. I also made one of Denzel and one of Dozy.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually want to get into using polymer clay.
Oh wow, okay.
So that's one of the next things I'll be getting into. But I like to do a lot of different crafts as well as the beading. The beading is like my business sort of thing, but it's also a hobby. But I do have other artistic hobbies that I like to do as well. Well, on my spare time.
So how is it you find the time to do this? Because, I mean, it must take forever to actually do these beads. I mean, I know you're a bit of a gamer, so how do you mix and match both of them with real life and everything else?
With great difficulty. That's the best way of putting it. To be honest, I'm at the moment lately, I haven't really got much time to get to play my Xbox or any games on anything else because I've been so busy between Revival there, and now I'm going to be at a place locally called 2D Comic Festival, which is in Derry here this weekend. So I'm busy making up stock because I sold so much, and I did sell so much at Revival. I had so little stock left. I have to make up like Sonic the Hedgehogs, Mario's, Zelda's, all the common things that sell. So I'm making all that up now to go to 2D. I've got that many conventions and events now coming up during the summer,
mm-hmm.
all over Ireland and Northern Ireland. And I'm hoping to get back to England again this year at Manchester's Replay Events Play Expo.
So that's going to be one that we're definitely going to go to. And I think it was such a success for you selling stuff at Revival. And I mm-hmm. think because you do like a whole range of different sort of gamings like Mario, Sonic, it appeals to absolutely everyone. So I think, again, people will be buying stuff from you left, right and center.
That's one of the things I try to aim for, a variety. To me, variety is very important. For a long time, you know, I didn't really do many as much Sega stuff as I liked. I was mostly Nintendo, and I started to realize, why am I not making much Sega stuff, especially when my name of my company is pretty much based on Sega. Yeah. So I started, that's when I started making more like the Golden Axe, the Kid Chameleon, Streets of Rage and stuff too. But I do want to make variety, and I always, every now and then, I would put a post up on my page saying, if you've come to my table and you were looking for something to buy, what would you wish was there? Just mm-hmm. to get some customer feedback, to see what they would like to see at, you know, my table if they ever met up with me. That is a great help to me. The people on my page are fantastic. They do so much for me, and the comments they leave are fantastic. I'm lucky to have such a great, you know, a great base on Facebook with loads of people who are just really good.
Right, so the other thing I wanted to ask you then, so you're a gamer, like, have you always been a gamer? Did you have a little lull in it, or like, is this something that's continued since your childhood then?
It's continued since my childhood all the way through. There has been times in my life where I've had, like, you know, I need a break from gaming times, you know, mm-hmm. That's happened every now and then, but those didn't last very long. But I've pretty much been a gamer through and through, but my passion, I'm more of a connoisseur when it comes to retro games than it is to modern. As much as I love modern games, and I do love modern games, and there's new games coming out that I cannot wait to get, retro games is where my heart's at more than anything.
No, definitely. So why do you think retro has come back big time? Because, I mean, there was literally thousands of people at Revival X, and, you know, there's thousands more people going to be going to Play Expo. So like, why is it sort of like back?
That's a good question. I think, to be honest, these days that if you can notice it with anything, music, with fashion. I think a lot of people seem to be getting into a nostalgia when it comes to like old games, old things. It just seems to me old everything's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And the gaming scene, I think, to be honest, these days, not dissing games at all, but they're not as challenging. They're not truly really games anymore to compare to what they used to be. Games of the old gave you a good challenge and they actually were something you played and something you enjoyed, but these days games seem more like interactive movies. I do love games of today. There's so many games I cannot wait to get, and some with great gameplay mechanics, but I think the simplicity,
mm-hmm.
Even the music from old games seems to be very appealing these days.
Yeah.
I mean, even artists use it in different music as well as for background and everything else, which I think is a great add-on to some music. And there's a lot of now chiptune artists out there.
Yeah.
I've noticed, and even rap people who rap with video game music in the background, like there's a ones I had listened to every now and then, it was called Dwayne and Brando. There was metal bands out there doing old video games music, like Power Glove and other ones as well. So mm-hmm. it just seems to have come back and like in a big massive explosion. But I think it's mostly the nostalgia of it all. People remembering the great days when they were a kid with their Sega Mega Drive, Master System, Commodore 64, ZX Spectrum, Amiga, whatever it was. And it just seems to be like a drug for everyone at the minute. And that's where, to be honest, I'm lucky to be doing what I do, because it seems to be following into that as well.
No, that's fantastic. So, all right, the next question I've got for you then is what retro consoles do you actually own, or what consoles do you want to add to your collection?
Right, I'll tell you first off what I actually own. What I own is, let's go from, I recently got the Game Boy there. Mm-hmm. Funny enough, bought my mum a Game Boy there at Christmas, and I thought to myself, I want one again.
Is that the classic Game Boy, not the Game Boy Color, the old classic?
Yes.
It's a lot bigger than I remember them being, because I bought myself one as well recently, and like, I just can't imagine those fitting into my pocket, like, you know.
Yeah, no, it's not just that. I mean, just thinking about you playing it now and holding it in your hand and thinking, when I was a kid, how big was this to me? You know, how small were my hands compared to what they are now, etc. And that's all I could think, because it's still big and bulky. But I recently bought myself a Commodore 64, which will be arriving hopefully very soon. The Sega Master System, Sega Mega Drive, the original Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, Nintendo GameCube, what else? Nintendo Wii, Xbox 360, PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2. Just wondering if I left anything out there. I probably have. But yeah.
So you've got quite a good selection of consoles then.
Yeah, I do.
I was going to ask you, did you actually ever play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade, on the C64? Because that is, you know, a pretty decent conversion, I think.
I have it on the original Nintendo, and yes, I did play it on the C64, but only as a demo. Mm-hmm. I had a demo for it, but I never actually, unfortunately, never got around to getting the game itself. I couldn't tell you why. I was so young, I don't remember, but I remember having the demo for it, and I loved it, and I thought, yes, this is brilliant. Finally getting something on a console is just like the, you know, not just like the arcade, but close enough at the time. You know, it was as close as we were going to get. I had the original Turtles one that was sort of like the same, the original classic Turtles on the NES on the Commodore 64. The thing I always remember about that, which I always find strange even today, is there was a book, a manual came along with it.
Mm-hmm.
In the very center of the manual, there was this big burgundy page which had numbers in black that were so small and a nightmare to see, but yet you had to put in these numbers to be able to play the game. It was like you had to put in the code that it gave you like a row and another row, like, you know, 2F or something, like Battleship, and then you would have to go down, find the number, squint your eyes like crazy because it was so hard to see, and then type it in to play the game, which I thought to myself, why is that even there? You know?
Was that like a piracy thing they were trying to do, perhaps?
It must have been a piracy thing, because from what I remember, it was Konami that made it at the time, mm-hmm. and I'm sure they had a problem. Like, I mean, I'm sure audio cassettes at the time were very easy to record and very easy to
play. Oh, yeah.
You know, the easiest thing in the world. Anyone could do it at home as long as they had a double tape deck on their hi-fi. I guess, and the most likely was to do with that. There was other games as well. I always remember, too, that I never actually seen another game that did that, the piracy mm-hmm. thing. I guess that they just were a wee bit paranoid about it and realized it didn't have to worry. I'm not too sure. But then there was other games as well I thought were really cool, like, you know, the Ghostbusters game that was on there, which whenever you were waiting for the game to load at the very start, because, you know, if you remember, or if you still play it these days in Commodore, it takes ages for a game to load up.
Oh, yeah.
And they had Space Invaders at the start there for you, mm-hmm. just while you were waiting for the game to load, you could play Space Invaders. I thought, that's a brilliant idea. I wish more games did that back then.
Now, I've got a few more questions for you. Now, this is a Desert Island question. So, one console that or arcade that you'd love to own, one computer game, like on a home system you'd like to own, and one person that would be on the island. So, three things then. So, which one do you want to pick first?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a really tough one. I can't actually even begin to even think. I'm going to go here. I could cheat and do one of these ones that has like loads of games in one.
Yeah, there. Everyone does that, but you've got to pick the one.
I'll pick the one. If there's a game that I know that I can play again and again and again and again, I would usually say Dizzy at this point, but I'm going to say Sonic the Hedgehog 2 on the Sega Mega Drive.
Right.
That is one game that I have to admit I must have played and beat the most. I do a thing now. Every single time I play it now, I always make sure I have all 7 Chaos Emeralds by the first stage of the third level.
Oh, wow. That's pretty hardcore, actually.
I used to have a manual when I was a kid where it actually showed you where exactly to get the rings on the bonus stage. Yeah. And even today, I seem to still remember the pattern. I don't know how, but I seem to still remember the pattern. And it really helps me a lot when it comes to always collecting as many rings as possible, getting to the first signpost, getting to the bonus stage, getting the emerald, next one, and so on and so forth, rinse and repeat.
That's a great game. I don't think it actually has been better. I mean, as much as I like Sonic 3, I think it lost some of its charm compared to Sonic 2.
I agree.
I mean, it may have been slightly bigger, but for me, Sonic 2, that was the peak of Sonic the Hedgehog. Okay, so that a big arcade machine, if you could have one arcade machine, what would it be?
Already mentioned the Turtles one.
What you'd like? What, the four player Turtles?
Yeah, because that is one. Either that or a Turtles in Time. But I'll say Turtles in Time. The Turtles in Time one was a brilliant follow-up to the first Turtles game because you even had more in it. Like, you had other characters, and they even can't remember if it was the arcade. I think the arcade version had it, but you had Toka and Razar in it as well from the movie and everything too. So there was a lot more variety in it, a lot more new stages. The music was, you know, fantastic. I still love the music today. But yeah, I would say Turtles in Time for the arcade machine would be probably the one I would definitely.
All right, and who would be on that island with you then?
Who? It would have to be my other half, Jane.
Everyone says that.
Yeah, I mean, because, well, I don't know. Well, there wouldn't be anyone else that really want them. Plus, you know, I don't want her to kill me. yeah, that would be it, yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, well, what we'll do, we'll start rounding this up. Have you got any shout-outs you'd like to give, you know, to anyone, or any thanks, or any mentions?
I would love to give a shout-out to everyone who's liked my page and everyone who's entered my competitions, everyone who's done any commission orders with me online, anyone who's asked me questions, just everyone on my page. Thank you very much for all the support you've given me, the shares you've done. I couldn't ask for so many great people to be on my page. I don't want to call you fans because, to be honest, I am not that pretentious. To me, honest, you know, you guys, the people I inspire on my page, the comments you give me, the compliments, you know, I'm more of a fan of you than anything else. Thank you very much.
That's fantastic. I'd just like to take the time to thank Darren for actually, you know, appearing on the show. You check out his amazing work on Facebook, and it's ABCStar, and I tell you what, check it out, it's absolutely amazing. And basically, Darren's going to give us some stuff for our competition further down the line, so stay tuned for that. Thank you very much, and see you guys next time.
All right, guys, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, I do apologize if it was a little bit rough around the edges, but that is because, family life has really been kicking me up the backside. It's kind of hard for certain shifts to try and find the time to record these podcasts, which is another reason why we are looking for two new hosts. So sometime in August we will have our two new hosts. And again, guys, I'd just like to say thank you for all your support, for all your donations, everyone that has supported this podcast. We couldn't do this without you guys. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Kyle, how about the power to move you?